We're coming to you live from the future.
Whoa. We're in the future. But somehow also the past?
Who knows? I'm Mackenzie.
I'm Liz.
And you're about to listen to our podcast. And we just wanted to tell you a little bit of a little something. Going into season two, we changed our name, as you probably see on your podcast app, to Wisteria Gaze. But we just wanted to let you know, don't be shocked if you hear the old name, because we used to have an old name. But now we are Wisteria Gaze.
And you can find us on social media at Twitter at Wisteria Gaze, on Instagram at Wisteria Gaze _. Or WisteriaGaze.com.
So hit us up. That's
Hell
our new name.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hello, our little... Do we have a fan name? Our
I don't know.
Little apples.
Our little apples. I called everybody housewives.
Our little housewives. Our tiny housewives.
Hello. This is a very special episode. It's a little bonus because we got 1,000 downloads.
We got 1,000 downloads. It's my birthday this week. Two momentous occasions.
And it's actually your birthday, not when you joke about it being your birthday.
Yes. August 28th is my birthday for real this time.
Yes. Oh, well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
And happy 1,000 downloads of our happy little Desperate Housewives
downloads.
Show. Oh, we were like thinking about how we can best thank you for these downloads, for listening to our show, for supporting us, and also have a good time. Mm-hmm. And we thought there's only one way to do that, to really give back, you know?
Yeah, to give back to you and to us.
And to us. I am vibrating with excitement.
Should I say what we're saying? Finish your thought.
Oh, I'm just saying I'm vibrating with excitement because we've skimmed but have not actually read what we're about to be reading to you all.
Which is to say... What do you mean you're reading? Is there a Desperate Housewives book? Well, the answer is yes. But
I own it.
Mackenzie owns it. But also, there's a bunch of tiny, tiny books on the internet called fan fictions. I don't know if anybody knows what that is in 2020.
Could you explain it to me, Liz?
Yeah, so like fan fiction is a piece of artwork that somebody writes when they're very invested in a piece of media, like Avatar the Last Airbender, Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
yes,
and even Desperate Housewives, Mackenzie.
Yes. You know, if we can't get our gay content on the show, we're going to get it in fan fiction form.
We're going to get it some way. We're going to find out how to get it.
We have picked a couple of pieces to read to you today as a celebration for 1,000 downloads.
Yes.
And like I said, we have not actually read through any of these.
Which we probably should have done.
Maybe. We've glanced and found some key phrases that made us say, yes, we have to read this on the internet. Should we just jump into this?
I think we should just jump right in. The first one we're going to be reading is called The Ice Queen, written by... Weedy Sinful.
Thank you, Weedy Sinful.
The description is, takes place in season one, shortly after the episode Move On, where, as you may know, the fabulous, slightly gothic nurse, Felicia Tillman, is introduced as Martha's sister. Edie/Felicia, friend-enemy relationship, R&R. It is rated K, which on fanfiction.net means for everyone.
Yeah,
this is pretty tame.
I was drawn to this at the prospect of Edie Felicia. I'm very curious what this is going to be. So do we want to assign characters? Like, how do we want to do this?
Sure, do you want to be Edie?
I'll be Edie, sure. Yeah. Thank God.
Listen, I know what you want.
Oh, thank you. And do you want to read the... like the descriptions?
Yeah, I can be the narrator for this.
The narrator.
We can switch off doing that.
Yeah. And Felicia.
Yes.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Actually, I'm gonna put this on
red
the main
leather,
screen.
Yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. We've got to warm up. We've got to get ready for this.
Edie couldn't quite understand how someone could be so cold. Sure, maybe she personally did warm up to people a lot quicker than most women would, but this lady was a bit too cold. She was almost afraid to brush shoulders with her on the streets, imagining herself comically turning to ice and tumbling to the ground.
Like she's Susan.
Felicia would pass by with a grin, the demise of yet another one of her victims not fazing her. Talk about an ice queen.
I'm assuming this is me, yes. Correct? Okay. Felicia!
She pounded on the door, her tone worried. She had been standing there knocking for 10 solid minutes with still no answer. Edie knew she was home, or at least figured. Where would the old witch even go when she went out of the house? Seemed like as good of a question as any. The door was pulled open at once. Right from the get-go, it was obvious Felicia had nothing short of, a blubbering mess moments before. She wiped at her dark, smudged eyeliner with all the dignity in the world, pursing her lips at the sight of the blonde. They're really painting Felicia all as, like, a goth.
Truly? Clearly this is a Felicia stan, because they call her fabulous. All the dignity in the world. I didn't realize the Tillmeister had such a fan.
We need them to listen to our show.
We need this person to listen to our show. Let's comment on the fanfiction and be like, will you listen to our podcast?
Yes.
Oh, honey, are you all right? You look like you've been crying.
Edie felt an aching inside her own heart. Martha. That had been the reason. And she wouldn't judge. She had been doing her fair share of crying over the whole ordeal herself, and even if it meant getting metaphorically or literally frozen to death, she would comfort Felicia. After all, wasn't that what she was there for? Well, no, actually, she had originally came to complain that Martha's garden was going to hell and to demand that Felicia takes care of it.
Whoa.
The once lively hydrangeas?
Yes.
Were wilting, and the grass was now dull, dead green. Dead. Just like her friend.
Okay, that's dark.
The thought alone made Edie's breath hitch in a way that signaled tears were soon to follow. Felicia raised her thin eyebrows. I'm fine. Seriously? No, are you okay? Or don't cries? Not even a light? She's in a better place now? Edie wondered many things about Felicia, and another one she would think of just off the top of her head was, do you want to read that?
What the hell was wrong with her?
She was weird in most ways than one. I misread that.
They're right in a really weird way. It's okay.
Okay, then I'm gonna leave it. Her carelessness for others, the way she could even tell the worst of news, all while grinning. That, and she kind of dressed like she was on the way to of the fortune tellers. I thought it was gonna say Wheel of Fortune. Also,
maybe both.
She was a nurse? Edie didn't like to think about that. She had this twisted image of Felicia smearing blood off her hands under her white apron after performing a messy operation or something like that. So Edie doesn't know how nurses do.
Okay.
You just seem so sad, Felicia.
Okay, that wasn't exactly true, but it could work.
I want to help you. Us mourning, we need to stick together. For Martha.
This is an awful Edie. I don't even know how to do Edie at all, but this is what I'm doing.
Edie. Felicia rested her hand on her shoulder, looking into her eyes. Those viewing this encounter would have thought it a heartfelt conversation, when it was really, I'm not mourning. The biggest, most creepiest smile crossed her lips at once, which darkened with an almost black shade of lipstick. If anything, I'm great. Edie's eyes narrowed as she grew even more, if possible, skeptic of Felicia's true intentions. She meant well, she told herself, didn't she?
You know, I'm kind of surprised you're not a suspect.
Oh, I think that was me.
Oh, that was you.
You know, I'm kind of surprised you're not a suspect. She admitted bluntly. There was a twinkle in her eye that couldn't be missed.
For Martha's strangling?
Yes, for Martha's strangling. Can we not call it that? I'm having a bit of a hard time.
Okay, then.
As if she felt she was actually helping, she corrected herself.
Oh, I think we fully got our characters mixed up. They wrote this.
They wrote this interestingly.
I'll just say it. Martha's horrid, violent death then, which I didn't do.
This is now
which
Edie.
I assume, yes. So, was it Edie accusing her of being a suspect?
I don't know.
We're confused. You probably have.
Probably had good intentions or intentions at all. But I don't know how you expect me to believe you're truly innocent. Oh, Felicia, it was. That was.
This is confusing. Let's just power through.
Felicia nodded, taking in the interference laid before her. How cute, thought Felicia. She thinks I've something to do with my own sister's murder. Why, isn't it obvious? The police said Martha was still alive at the time of burial. Edie crossed her arms smug.
Yeah, so?
If I would have murdered Martha, she would have been dead long before I lugged her body out into the woods and buried her. Her wicked grin returned, and she met Edie's visible fear with a swift wink. Now, would you like some fresh baked cookies? Her jaw dropped. She struggled to find her voice.
I should really be getting home.
To avoid getting murdered, Edie mentally added.
To avoid getting murdered? This took a direction I did not think it would take.
I know. We should have read more than just Edie and Felicia.
It's okay, we got some good tasty stuff coming.
Felicia appeared disappointed. It was no secret that she was a lonely woman, and now Edie was too. She had needed a new friend. A new female friend.
Are they gonna fuck?
Oh, wow. This is rated K for everyone. Figuring Felicia would serve her well in that position now, she finished with,
"But I'd love to stop by later after I get done running my errands."
Edie turned on her heel to leave, but something inside her made her stop. Felicia had never explained why her makeup was a mess, or exactly why she had been crying. In a right state of mind, Edie never would have done this. Just as Felicia was about to close the door, she turned and hugged her. It was a rather forced, unexpected advance that Felicia Tillman had never taken lightly from anybody.
Whoa.
She wasn't much for physical contact, especially not from the neighborhood she couldn't to help. That's what it says. Especially not from the neighborhood she could to help. Felicia's eyes twitched ever so slightly. If you don't get off me, there will be another horrid, violent death.
Oh, no, you skipped the... it says the neighborhood whore, especially not nowadays. But she didn't care. They're two separate lines.
What? Oh, I think I just, my brain didn't want to.
It's like your brain didn't want to say whore.
Yeah, so I just skipped that whole line.
You blacked it out. let's just go where we were, what Felicia says.
If you don't get off me, there will be another horrid, violent death. This made Edie jump back at once, startled.
Sorry.
That's all right, you mean well. There was a long drag of silence.
You.
Please get off my front porch.
Oh, Liz, the anxiety. Oh, when do you want me to come over later?
You're not coming over now, dear, she explained gently.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to stop by tomorrow?
The embrace had affected her more than Edie thought just
Wait,
before
is Edie turned on?
I think the Tillmeister is. Just before she closed the door, she muttered, "Not a chance." With that, the door slammed in Edie's face. There was a moment, where Edie would question the true intentions of Felicia Tillman once again. That wasn't a sentence, I just mulled my words together. She assumed that these moments would be frequent, and not that far apart. She had to laugh to herself as she jogged home. She was something else. She reasoned. She was the closest thing to Martha she had left, and you better be damn sure that she was going to hold on to that little piece of the only real friend she ever had.
That was not what I thought it was going to be.
No.
Do we want to unpack it, or we just want to move to the next one? Because the next one is
move to the next.
The next one is gonna get spicy. Are you gonna be ready?
This one is which one?
Smaller Aspirations by Orphan Account. It is rated mature, so if anyone is startled by sex, probably don't listen to this one.
Turn off the podcast.
So I will be the narrator. Do you want to? Do you want to be Gabrielle or Brie? This is a Gabby Brie one. It's very short.
You pick. You pick.
I'll be. I'll be Gabby.
Okay, I'll be. I don't know.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. I'm going to do a Brie voice.
So I'm nervous because I haven't read this and I'm already blushing. So the summary is catching their breath and then starting again. That's the summary. Brie leaned on Gabrielle's shoulder as they both caught their breath. They sat, thigh against waist. What? Happened? Cheek to neck?
Okay.
Bree's thumb on the angle of Gabrielle's hip, warm moisture still on her fingertips, on Gabrielle's upstairs family room sofa. Family room? They didn't even have a family, not yet. Carlos was gone, and the house sounded vast and empty around them. Gabrielle arranged them so she could kiss Brie again. Her hair wasn't even undone, but she tasted real. What? Her breath was losing some of its mintiness. And Gabrielle wanted her again. It had taken some convincing to get this far, but she knew Brie was as lonely as she was and needed this even more than Gabrielle did. She wasn't sure she loved Carlos this much. Brie broke the kiss.
I don't think we should.
Are you British? Are you British? Why are you British?
It's my Brie voice.
Shh. Gabrielle kissed her again, their soft lips fitting so neatly together. It's all right.
But I'm not.
Neither am I. She kissed her way down Brie's neck, felt her body, at least, bend to her touch. Her breath quickened as Gabrielle pushed her skirt up and out of the way again. It would be crumbled as she untied Brie's hair too, before she was done. That was a confusing sentence. Tomorrow, all she would dream about was money, and all Brie could dream about was of her family and of appearances. This was recess, where Gabrielle risked all her security and Brie her good name just to be their other selves for a while. The end.
The end.
That was a Gabrielle and Brie one.
Oh. This next one that we have does have a lot of more talking.
Yes, it's more like a scene.
Yeah, so like, put on my actor glasses.
Put your actor glasses on. Since this is our second long one, do you want me to be the narrator of this one too, so you don't have to narrate two long ones?
Yeah.
And you can narrate the last one that you found.
The last one that I found that I love. Yes. It is delicious.
All right, so this is called Disturbances by Faith in the Poor. And it has two versions of it. We're only going to read one, right? We only want to read the light one. And it's basically a Brunette, around the firing of the nanny Claire, is what I'm getting. Who do you want to be? You were just Brie.
I was just Brie. If you want me to pull out my Brie voice, I can, but I can do a Lynette voice.
Who's drawing? Who are you drawn to? Are you
I'm drawn to either.
I'll do Brie. I'll do Brie. My Brie won't be the same as your Brie. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's of course.
All right, you ready for this?
My Lynette won't be the same as Felicity Huffman's Lynette.
Well, then get out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
I think this is also a sexual one. This is also rated mature.
Okay.
So be aware. And then, yeah, this is more of a scene. So you ready to have a scene together?
I can't wait to flirt with you.
I'm excited. The redhead's skin is slick with sweat as she crawls over her body? What? And pronouns are already fucked up. And back up the bed before collapsing on the sheets beside her. She slowly caresses the soft skin at her partner's hip as she waits for Bree's breathing. Wasn't the redhead?
The redhead skin, so like the person she's crawling over is skin.
Oh, so this is Lynette. Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
This. She waits for Bree's breathing to return to normal. She feels the mattress shift as Bree moves to lie on her side, but when she leans over to kiss her, Bree pulls away. There's something I need to tell you.
We can talk later.
I have other
more important things in mind right now.
Bree smiles and runs her fingers between Lynette's breasts and then moves to the edge of the bed so that she is out of reach. I think you need to hear what I have to say.
This better not take long.
Okay.
I don't know. Lynette,
you know impatience really isn't that becoming.
I'm impatient for you, and you should count that for something.
She rolls over to lie on it. Fucking Lynette's a bossy top.
Dare I say she's cheeky in it.
She's cheeky. She rolls over to lie on her stomach and runs her hand down Bree's arm. Okay, that's
Bree.
It does, but I need you to focus. I don't really know how to tell you this, but you need to talk to Claire. Lynette shoots her a confused look.
What do you mean? Have you heard something? Because her references were good.
I'm sure they were fine, but we kind of weren't entirely alone for a moment there.
Are you trying to tell me that Claire walked in on us?
She asks as she reaches over to the other side of the bed and grabs the quilt, covering her body with it. That would be a reasonable assessment of the situation.
Oh my god.
Her words are muffled as she has now buried her head under a pillow. You can hide all you want, but that's not going to change what happened.
Why didn't you let me know?
I kind of had other priorities at the time. Her arms emerged as she slaps in the general vicinity of Bree's head, managing to catch Bree's nose with the tips of her fingers.
Why didn't I hear anything?
Well, my thighs were wrapped pretty firmly around your head at the time. She lifts her head up. Bed, but continues to hold the pillow over it.
Man, I've really liked having a nanny.
What's with the past tense?
I have to get rid of her, Bree. She'll tell Tom.
I don't think you need to be so drastic. You should just talk to her.
I don't see what good that would do.
Bree rips the pillow off Lynette's head, only to watch Lynette substitute her arms for the missing item. Would you just look at me? She strokes Lynette's hair as she waits for a response.
Would you look at me?
There is no movement. Fine, don't look, but you are going to listen. I got the feeling that she was impressed with what she saw. I don't think she'll tell.
Bree, she saw you naked. She saw me naked. And I was kneeling, I was knelling, and...
Knelling, yeah, it says knelling. She can't complete the sentence. She prays that everyone has lied to her when they have told her you can't die from embarrassment.
Christ, on top of everything else, it was hardly a flattering angle.
Bree's laughter is deep and rich.
I don't know how you could possibly find this funny.
That was my deep rich laughing. I was just thinking, that is a position I've always been quite fond of you in.
How can you be enjoying yourself?
It's just that you are so adorable sometimes.
As much as I like to be complimented, I don't really feel any better.
Your British accent is killing me.
I'm just saying it works well.
Would you just come out from under the quilt so that we can talk properly? She doesn't move.
No, I may never come out again. I'm going to wear this quilt forever. I will make it into a tracksuit, and it doesn't matter how bad it will look, because I'm never leaving the house again.
Stop being so melodramatic. Tell me how you got Claire to be your nanny.
You know how.
I know that you used the fact that you are sleeping with me to get me to reveal information.
I did not!
Are you going to tell me if I hadn't told you... What? You wanted to know that you wouldn't have withheld sex until I caved. I'm very confused now.
You'll never know, but it's good for me to know that even the possibility of me withholding can get me what I want.
Good enough news is that you will look at me? What is this?
It's gone somewhere we could never have imagined. I never look at you again. It's possible that I'm blind from the trauma.
This feels like a weird experimental play.
Yes.
Lynette, sweetie, if anyone is going blind, it should be Claire. But I maintain that she
I feel
she
like
more...
I'm having a fever dream.
Same. That she more than liked what she saw. Tell me, how badly did you flirt with her when you were convincing her to take the job? Now that was canon.
I can't believe you think I would do that.
Lynette, you flirt without even trying. I don't think that you even know what you do at half the time. I've been on the receiving end of it enough times, but I am not so naive to think that it's limited to me.
Well, there is the small matter of the man I'm married to.
I thought it went without saying that it wasn't limited to him. Lynette lifts her head up and moves her arms so that she can rest her chin on them and squints at Bree through her eyes that are reduced to slits, as though she believes that if she can't really see, then no one can see her.
You think I flirted with her, and that she liked it, and that's why she took the job. She's a child, Bree. There's no way she's interested in me.
I think she's more than interested. I think she resented that it was me.
Oh my god!
That it was.
Me.
That your tongue was inside.
I have goosebumps,
wait.
And I don't know why.
This is literally what you just did. Lynette emits an indescribable sound before she replies.
It doesn't matter. She still has to go.
You could find out how she feels. See where it takes. It seems like Bree's trying to have a threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. See where it takes you.
Wouldn't bother you.
We've been over this. We're both married. This is only a bit of fun we're having.
A bit of fun shouldn't get other people fired.
You don't have to fire her. You could have some fun with her.
I don't want her. I don't want anyone but...
Her sentence is terminated by Bree's palm landing over her mouth. Don't you dare even think that. We promised that there would be no feelings involved, and that if there were, we would end this, and I am having too much fun to end this.
I don't want this to end. I'm willing to fire my nanny to keep you.
Due to the disapproving look on Bree's face, she corrects herself.
Keep this.
Are you really going to fire her?
She has to go. I'll find a way to get rid of her.
So we are done talking about this. Because I have plans for you that don't include talking. I just need you to come out from under there.
I told you, I'm never coming out from here unless... But I'm willing to have you join me.
She waggles her eyebrows lasciviously. She flips the edge up so that it also encompasses Bree and pulls her close, letting herself drown in Bree's kisses. They progress at rapid pace, as though they feel that they need to make up for the time that they lost, and that it is not long before the moans and sighs of Bree's talented fingers are producing drown out any thoughts of Claire.
The moans and sighs of her fingers.
Her fingers are going, but it's like... Her little finky tips.
Oh my god.
That one was a good one.
That was pretty good. That was a good scene.
I think that, so there's another version we're not going to read, but I think it's more like BDSM-y, I think.
Yes.
And like it ends a little sadder.
If you wanna find that on your own accord, feel free.
Yes.
We gave you the info. We won't reply what it is. Repeat is what I meant. I'm just so,
all right.
I'm just so just taken aback
so
from that.
Taken aback. So we've got one last one.
We got one more.
One sentence, and you said we have to do this one.
I read one sentence. We have to do this one. It's called Raspberry. Okay. It's by Green Seven Silver.
Okay.
Who
are the characters in this?
I want it to be... I'll tell you in a second. The description is, Eid has a surprise for her secret lover.
Eid?
There's no I.
I think that's very funny. Okay, so one of us should be Edie and one of us should be the secret lover, correct?
Yes.
Who do you want to
be?
I played Edie. So do you want to be Edie and I'll be the secret
lover?
I can be
Edie. I have a good Edie voice ready to go.
I swear to God.
What?
I know what it's going to be.
How do you know what it's going to be?
Because I know you.
Yeah. What's it gonna be?
It's gonna be the British.
You don't know that.
Oh, okay. You be Edie, I'll be the secret lover.
Okay.
Raspberry. Many of the people in Wisteria Lane have a secret before their family.
Before their family? What?
I'm reading it exactly as written.
Oh, God.
Before their friends. Mrs. Harper goes every Wednesday to the horse racing. While her husband believes her to play bridge. Sam Porter doesn't go to the math club in his school. but meets his girl friend. Mrs. Mac Clusky.
Oh my god.
Goes once a month in a swinger club, although none of the neighbors would ever suspect that. Also, Eid Britt had a secret.
Does it say Eid every time?
Yes.
Oh no.
Which none of her neighbors should know about. I can say it's Edie, because technically it is Edie. But it is spelled E-D-E.
Maybe Eid is a nickname.
Maybe.
Eid.
This was a secret affair. Not that Eid tended to keep her affair secret.
Don't say them aloud.
Normally she bragged about her victories, but this time her lover didn't want to be discovered. And maybe it really was something that the neighbors wouldn't forget that easily. Sometimes it was really sexy to have a guilty secret.
That's like the pitch for the show. Yeah. Sometimes it's really sexy to have a secret. Desperate housewives.
Especially when you wanted to spend a good time. And Eid was good in that. I'm sorry.
It's building up to who it is. I'm gonna scream.
She had long wanted to do something special, and right now she was preparing a surprise for her lover. She had everything ready. Candles, champagne, that was the most important, and the most important, fresh raspberries.
The name of the fish.
She decorated the room and slipped into her black negligee, and when she heard the front door open... That's what it says.
I know. Looking at my line, it's making me laugh. Sorry. Eid? Why did they spell her name that way?
I don't know. Who else has the keys to the flat, Myers? She asked, almost annoyed.
No one I know.
Susan rushed up the stairs and looked around.
Oh my god, how romantic, Eid. I don't know what to say.
Just come here without stumbling over the candles, okay?
She's really a cock destroyer, isn't she? Also, good candle reference from, you know, the last time Edie was burning candles for a lover.
Yes.
Of course.
Susan somehow managed to get out of bed without burning the house down. The two houses were more than enough for that matter. I don't understand that sentence. Susan looked down on Eid and rushed with unclothing.
Rushed with unclothing!
Seeing her like that, all she could think was what idiot Carl had been. He never had tried to find the true Eid behind the facade. Then Eid pulled her down into a kiss, sucking Susan's tongue into her mouth.
What?
The tongues fought for dominance.
Holy shit.
Which Eid always won.
Oh my god.
She rolled them over until she was on top.
Wait, them? Is Susan used they, them pronouns in this fucking fanfiction?
There's tears coming out of my fucking eyes.
She
I don't know how dirty this gets, just so we all know.
I'm seeing a dirty sentence coming up right now.
She rubbed Susan's breasts until the nipples. The nipples! The nipples! Not the nipples, the nibbles! The nibbles stood erect while Susan buried her hands into the blonde hair.
The nibbles stood erect. The nibbles with a B stood erect. Holy shit.
She pulled Eid up for a kiss while her hands wandered downwards, stroking idly Eid's stomach and lower. And she knew which she was doing.
It's lower like her puss?
I guess. Eid closed her eyes. Funny as it was, the clumsy housewife knew how to touch her.
Oh my god.
Susan set a rhythm, driving her slightly mad. Before she finally reached her peak. I'm sweating, Mackenzie. She tried.
It's spelled P-E-E-K. So it's like like she's peeking. She's taking Mackenzie, a little peek.
For the listeners, we have to record an episode after this, and I don't think I can. I don't think I can, Mackenzie.
Oh, shit. We'll take a break. We'll cool down.
While she tried to catch her breath, Susan got some raspberries. She really loved these fruits.
So is she fingering Edie and eating raspberries at the same time?
No, I think her peak was an orgasm.
Okay.
Ede kissed her, and the flavor of the raspberries became part of the kiss.
That's romantic.
Ede kissed her way down, using her sharp tongue as fluent as in her fights.
Her sharp tongue?
Yes. Susan's hands grasped at the sheets. Later, they snuggled up and fed each other with raspberries and chocolate. But the clock struck 4, and Edie sighed. Time to go! Next Wednesday at the same time!
Of course.
Susan kissed her again and searched for her clothes. Ede stayed a bit. To clean up, she told herself, but in truth, she just wanted to savor the last moments. Yes, many people have secrets, and the problem with secrets is they often cover the truth not only for others, but for yourself. And lying to yourself is the worst thing you can do. Finn.
I'm exhausted. I think that was the best one.
That was the best one. Save the best for last.
That was so good.
I wish I had a fanfiction.net account so I could write a comment and follow and favorite this fanfiction.
We should do that just to do that.
I would like to say, like, this was all for good fun. We don't mean any, like, malicious intent towards the people who wrote these at all. I was just having a fun time. I loved it.
I fucking loved it. Thank you, all these writers for writing these freaking wonderful fanfictions. These were so lovely. This was so much fun, Liz.
Yes. I have a really good pitch where, if people like this, if they want us to do it again, two pitches. One, if you want to write us Desperate Housewives fanfiction, we will read it in one of these episodes.
We will fucking read it. We will shout you out.
And two, I think we should write each other a piece of Desperate Housewives fanfiction and not show each other until we present it to the other to read.
I'd be into that. I've never written a fan fiction before. I'd have
but
to, like, research.
But that's only if people are interested in this.
Yeah,
if
so let us like know. This.
Let us know, like, through, like, social media, through anything. We have an email.
Technically, if you want to email us at desperatehousedex@gmail.com.
But yes.
Send us your fanfic. Let us know if you like this. And most importantly, the reason why we did this, thank you for listening to our podcast and getting us to 1,000 downloads.
Yes, we couldn't be here without you. We couldn't be reading that fanfiction without you.
What a fun, like, milestone. It feels so cool to think that you all are listening to our little podcast and enjoying the world of Desperate Housewives with us. I think we only got a few things left to say, Liz.
Yeah. I guess the first being, I love you.
I pursed my lips slightly as I say.
My nibbles are rock hard.
My nibbles are erect as I say, I love you too.
And also, everyone else, we love you.
We love you.
And stay juicy.
Stay the juiciest juice. Stay juicy.